So it happened. Bronny James got drafted by the Lakers, and yet within a couple hours, you wouldn't have known. Social media and the media at large turned to something completely different, which we will not be talking about on tonight's show. No, negative Ghost Rider. I have to tell you, as much as I am a news junkie, and of course I have opinions and viewpoints, and I have strong sentiments that I'll share with people that I don't work with. This is one of those nights, even though my first 5 years in the business were in news, and so I was covering events. Not quite like that one, but I was covering events. I'm so glad I work in sports, if for no other reason than I can hide behind them tonight. Oh my gosh. Yes, sports, all the time, which is, I know, somewhat ironic since I don't generally go straight sports anymore, not really since the pandemic. There's so much else in life that I enjoy talking about, and like many of you, or like all of you, even if you don't care to admit it, those of you who want me to stick to sports all the time, we just all have different interests, right? No one's so one-dimensional that we immerse ourselves in sports 24/7. And so I enjoy getting more and more off the beaten path and talking about food and music and weird things that happen. AI is our latest big debate that we've had here on the show, which I really appreciate because there's so many different angles and perspectives on AI. But it's one of those nights when I might just do you a favor. You stick to sports, people. You on your island and stick so closely to them that you forget that I have any other interests outside of sports. Oh my gosh, what a night. Thank God it's almost Friday. Happy almost Friday to all of yous. Happy almost Friday from the left to the right and from the right to the left and from the up and the down and the inside out. Yeah, we're just going to focus on sports. It'll be amazing. Just watch. Actually, even as I was thinking about sports and what kind of sports we could use to dominate these next 4 hours, I actually asked my husband the date, not the day, but the date. I know it's almost Friday, but the date on Friday is June 28th, and I quickly had this pang. I cannot believe it's been 4 months since I hugged my dog. Wow. Those of you who responded to me and who were reaching out to me when I first was saying goodbye to Penny and was kind of dealing with all the immediate grief over that. Many of you said, oh, we lost our dog or we lost our special pet going back 6 months and it still hurts, or even a year and I still miss her, still miss him. Oh yeah, that's so accurate and so appropriate to describe my own emotions. So even as we go into Friday, there's just this mixture of emotions over so many things, but definitely missing my sweet dog. And I know she didn't love summer. Summer and for me and Penny was our least favorite season. But boy, did she love to roll in the grass. And I came across this video that I took for Snapchat going way back when. And she was living her best life, rolling around, celebrating Friday. So at some point, I haven't done it yet, I will throw it up on our social media, what Penny used to do to celebrate Friday in the summertime. It was her favorite thing. Next to rolling in the sand, when there's no sand available, it was her favorite thing to kick it. She was kicking it. So I'm missing my Penny on this Thursday night, and we'll definitely be missing her on Friday. But we'll bury ourselves in mindless drivel about sports for the next 4 hours. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the Infinity Sports Network and beyond. You can find me online at A-Law Radio. I haven't even logged in yet. It's been a bit of a hectic couple hours. And then to our Facebook page as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Did see a lot of you continue to weigh in about the idea that AI could be used to present a personalized Olympic recaps, every day with your favorite sports, because the algorithms are watching you, your phones are listening to you, they're following you, they know exactly what you're doing. And Al Michaels, well, the fake Al Michaels, Sometimes when I'm describing this to people, I really have to be careful and make sure they know that I'm speaking about a computer-generated Al Michaels. It is his voice, but it's not him talking.
Welcome to your daily Olympic recap.
But it actually is him talking. It's just not him talking in the present. It's a past Al Michaels with his words that have been rearranged. And the computer, I mean, that's the brilliance of AI. The computer program is able to imitate his inflection, imitate his breaths and his pauses and his pacing. And yeah, speaking to some friends of mine, we're wondering how long it might take for AI to figure out how to call a baseball game. Could you imagine AI for Vin Scully? And as someone who loved Vin Scully and would not only listen to him do games, but was also watch on TV whenever I had the opportunity, I actually don't think I would be upset if they found a way to use AI for an active game so that they could bring back Vin Scully's play-by-play. Now, there's still some ethical gray area there, and I don't love it, but if Vin Scully's gone and his wife or his estate gives permission, or whoever owns the material, right? So a lot of times, if I left this network tomorrow, the material belongs to the network. It doesn't belong to me. Even though it's me, I get paid to create material and content for this network, for my parent company, Odyssey. So I don't own it. Crazy enough, I don't own what's on our YouTube channel. If it was made here in the building, or if it's about what we did on the air. So a lot of this, and we sign contracts and we say the company can do what it wants with the content that we create because it belongs to the company. It doesn't belong to me. And so there's this, I don't know, there's, I guess, this window where if you, let's say it's the Dodgers or it's one of the Dodgers media outlets, and they want to use AI to recreate a Vin Scully broadcast, I would think out of courtesy, they would, because they love him and the family, they would reach out to his family and say, are you okay with this? But ultimately, what Vin Scully did while he was on TV and radio belongs to the media outlets. It doesn't belong to Vin's estate. Unless there's some type of an agreement between them, but I've never heard of that. Mostly it belongs to the media company. So yeah, I was thinking about the AI deal, and yes, NBC had to ask Al Michaels for permission because he's alive, and this is, it's still his voice. You can't use his voice. You can't misrepresent a recap as Al Michaels if it's not, but the material they pulled from belongs to NBC. They went back to his old broadcast, and it belongs to them. So, like I said, there's a bunch of gray area, but I was thinking as I was reading some of your responses, a little bit like going to a concert and getting a hologram that's performing. It's maybe taken from an old music video, or it's taken from a song session, a studio session, and recreating it with hologram for an artist who's passed away, right? Not someone who's still alive. And that's where the, yeah, that's where the kind of icky, creepy,
they've done that,
feeling comes in. Yes, of course. Tupac, right? Also Michael Jackson. Right. I'm sure there are others, but I bet Elvis. I wouldn't be surprised if there were concerts that featured Elvis.
I think there has been.
Yeah. And even, and this is something that's maybe a little bit different, but Celine Dion can't perform right now. She's dealing with some serious health issues, a very rare disease. And even as she documents it for her fans to see and to kind of raise awareness and understanding of the disease that she is battling, she can't perform. So I wonder if that particular case, there might ever be an opportunity for some of her former videos to be converted to holograms. So there are instances where I think if the artist is involved, if the artist is still alive and the artist is involved, you can understand why it would be a tool they might use. I don't know. I keep going back and forth with it. But the part that makes me nervous is that it's not branded as AI. When you're not told or you're not getting the reveal up front that it's artificial intelligence, that's where it becomes a bit of a gray area, right?
It's also a dangerous game where when are we going to ever have anything new? It almost completely halts human creativity because what, are we going to listen to Celine Dion for the next 300 years?
I mean,
there needs to be new artists. There needs to be new genres, new growth. It's just natural human
process. Have you noticed that all the current artists and all the current movie producers, they're going back to the 80s and 90s for their content?
There's reasons for that, actually, which Matt Damon explains really well if you look at him on YouTube. But yeah, it's all money, really. But it's a dangerous game. I mean, it stunts creativity. I mean, when do we want new music? We want new artists. We want new movies, new ideas. We're not getting any of that.
Not at this current time.
No.
And as you point out, artificial intelligence can only regurgitate what's past and rearrange what's past and pull from what's past. It can't make up the future, right? So essentially it is just a recycle. Although, you know what? In this country, in parts of the country, recycling is big. Reduce, reuse, recycle. So I suppose on that track, artificial intelligence is a positive.
Nostalgia's big right now.
It is. That's right. People are missing the olden days. Ha ha ha. When I hear young people say the olden days, I've got a couple of junior, I guess you would call them junior leaders, junior helpers in my fourth and fifth grade class on Sunday mornings in my church. And one of them is a bit of an old soul. And you forget sometimes that he's 17 and going to be a senior in high school. He dropped in the olden days recently. And I was like, what? How long have you been on the earth?
Going back in 2007.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, happy almost Friday. Again, appreciate the conversation. It was pretty fascinating to see what you believe is a positive or a negative or what worries you about artificial intelligence. And so those posts are up on both Twix and Facebook at A-Law Radio and then on our Facebook page. And goodness, right now, both those social media sites could use some mindless drivel. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. You know what was really crazy, Jay? And I'm sure that you and I were in the same space, just judging by our text back and forth. We were going back and forth like we do about show material, and neither one of us realized till after it had already gotten underway that the Indiana Fever were playing tonight. They were on the road in Seattle. And I feel like that is, again, that's an aberration. But weirdly enough, it was so quiet around the Indiana Fever, where normally there's this groundswell that you can hear from, I don't know, 1,000 miles away. And instead, in the wake of the other things happening tonight in our country, even the Indiana Fever took bat seat. That's doesn't happen very often. Caitlin Clark, we finally figured out what dwarfs Caitlin Clark in the headlines. Oh, dear.
Yeah, it was like mid-second quarter, and I was like, oh, yeah, the Fever, Caitlin Clark tonight. I texted you.
Again, what I was saying about Bronny James, it was a story for a couple hours, and then it's not a story anymore.
I actually had to go on Twitter and search, did Bronny James get drafted? Because I was sleeping, I missed it, I was doing other things, mm-hmm. and then I was like, oh, I don't hear much chatter about Bronny. Did he not go? And I was like, oh, I figured he would have gone to the Lakers.
I missed it. Yeah, it got buried. And again, that's the whole idea. I don't know why I said again. That's the whole idea behind the NBA moving the second round of the draft to Thursday afternoon. So yes, it completely got buried in drive time and pre-debate chatter. And yeah, we finally figured out that there's something bigger than Bronny and Caitlin Clark.
I'd say so.
Yes. So we'll jump right into it. But the Fever end up losing again. So now back-to-back games that they've lost. And I've not heard Caitlin Clark get annoyed with the media until tonight. Now, she masks it well. There was just a quick reaction. I might have had a more dramatic reaction if someone had asked me about my legacy in basketball when I'm 22 years old and I'm in my rookie season in the WNBA. So I think she handled herself extremely well. But yeah, the first time I feel like we've heard anything from her that's even remotely snarky. It was a game in which the Storm dominated. They surged right out of the gate, and so they were able to make fairly quick work. Even though the Fever did outscore Seattle in the second half, this is how I judge. Mom called me, and I said, oh, aren't you watching the game? Oh, no, they're down by 17. Oh, okay. So I guess your jersey didn't work tonight. Anyway,
she was locked in, though.
She was until then, coming out of the other things she was watching. So we've got Caitlin Clark and the Fever against the Seattle Storm. Also, yes, Bronny James. Even though LeBron is about to be a free agent, this to me signals that the Lakers believe they're going to re-sign him. Because it makes zero sense for them to draft Bronny other than leverage. But since it's a family thing, I don't know that LeBron would take the bait there. This seems pretty much what the Lakers had to do to ensure that LeBron would re-sign with them. But I did see someone post on social just the absurdity of it all. They hire his podcast partner as the head coach, and they draft his son after a half a season of college basketball. So if you take it at face value and you kind of step back, I don't know if Bronny James will be an excellent basketball player. There's a chance he will be. But the Lakers, yeah, right now that's probably secondary to what else they have on their minds, which is re-signing LeBron James. It is, yeah, it's a little bit twisted. But it does remind me of the end of Kobe Bryant's career. It seemed very clear that the Lakers front office made the choice. No matter what, Kobe was going to retire a Laker. There was no way they were going to allow him to finish his career somewhere else. They waded through multiple injuries, and they made sure that he had everything he wanted in his final season. And they were willing to sacrifice winning, if that's what it took, in the final season so that they could celebrate Kobe's retirement. I'm sure the Lakers would like LeBron James to announce at some point, he re-signs with LA, and this will be my final year. And wouldn't then the Lakers get all the attention of having LeBron retire as a Laker in purple and gold? So there's a lot more at play here than just basketball. But yeah, if you take it at face value, it's once again like the Lakers are willing to, tank is the wrong word because that's got a different connotation, but they're willing to hold loosely this season when it comes to winning, if you will. Does that make sense? I think Bronny, again, could turn out to be a really good player. He's got great genes. We know he can have the best training and nutrition that money can buy. He's certainly got a role model for the ages. But he's not there yet. He's not there yet. Drafted 55th overall, like what was anticipated or predicted, I suppose. So you can find us on social. Also, our phone number, 855-212-4227. A little bit of baseball as well. Uh-oh, Bryce Harper talking about pain. That's never a good thing. And Patrick Mahomes, just for fun, he's, of course, a popular pitch man right now. But there's a complication. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Happy Almost Friday from us here on the Infinity Sports Network.
And beyond!
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Clark on the push. Behind the back dribble. Behind the back pass, rather. Back to Caitlin. Baseline drive, kick it out to Wheeler. Wheeler, good look at a triple, and knocks it home, and we got a ball game again.
11 wins all of last season. They're already at 10. Look at the tie last year's winning record.
Clark from way downtown. Going is Igumake, going right off the window, no good there. We've seen a couple of bunnies on both sides missed thus far. Clark now over the top. Another nice pass, and this one is converted. You just see the touch by the rookie.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From Amazon Prime. Not sure if you know that, but a lot of WNBA games are on Amazon Prime. Caitlin Clark tied for the team high on this Thursday night as the Fever were in Seattle. She had 15 points, 3 of 7 from deep, and that means really deep on a couple of those triples. 7 assists and 6 rebounds, but the Fever fall by double figures to the Storm. Jewel Lloyd had a bunch of threes, and she led the scoring for the home team. And here they are at 7-12, and they got to keep up the energy. It looked like, from body language, from facial facial expressions. There was a bunch of frustration during the game.
We want to win more than anybody. Like, this is our job. Like, our job is to compete every single day. And AB would say the same thing. Like, nobody enjoys losing. Like, it's not fun to lose and have lost 12 games. And we're not even at the halfway point of our season yet. Like, we're trying to give it our all and be able to win every single night. And, you know, we expect to win. So, like, we're not going to be walking around the court, like, smiling when you're down 15 points. So I think just, you know, being able to find that competitive edge at the same time staying positive is a hard thing at times. But I think we can definitely do a little bit better and continue to just motivate one another. Because, you know, sometimes it's you're going to have good games, you're going to have bad games. But, you know, it's a team sport. You got to find a way to lean on your teammates and, you know, stay connected. And I think we can do a little bit better job of that.
The sold-out crowd there in Seattle still providing a bunch of energy. Now, they likely supporting their Storm. They're big into supporting their basketball as well as their soccer team. So we're not assuming they're all there from the Fever. But we definitely have seen where the average attendance is up at WNBA games across the board. And it was Jewel Lloyd who hit her first five triples and had, for her, a season-high 34 points. But when it comes to the Fever, as you can imagine, here they are trying to work it out, get on the same page, become a cohesive unit. The more practice they get, that becomes a little easier. But they're also still pretty young and relatively new. And then there's this element of the circus that follows Caitlin Clark everywhere she goes. And I saw some tweets from, actually, he was on the show earlier this week, from an Indiana Fever insider. And what he said is that the first 3.5 minutes of the press conference in Seattle were to Caitlin Clark. And that at some point, she tried to tell the media, gathered, hey, go ahead and ask Aaliyah Boston a question. Aaliyah had a double-double. And Boston waves back, no, I'm good. And then Clark repeats it, ask Aaliyah a question. So it sounds like as much as she can, she wants to be gracious. She certainly understands that it's good for basketball if she continues to answer questions and is an ambassador for her league and her sport. But gosh, it's a lot. And we're not talking about intelligent questions 100% of the time, or even questions that make any sense 100% of the time. Yeah, Matthew Byrne. So we talked to him earlier in the week, and this was in the wake of the Sky beating the Fever by 1 point on Sunday. He covers the team for Clutch Sports. And I just found his tweet, so I can read it to you. 3 minutes into the presser, all questions were for Caitlin Clark. She fielded all of them and then said to ask questions to Aaliyah Boston. Boston just sitting there, right? I mean, they generally have the coach and a couple of players that are together up on the podium. And Boston, like I said, waves back, no, I'm good. But Clark is saying, ask her a question, ask her a question. It's got to be uncomfortable for her at times because she's in the spotlight, and yet you can tell she wants it to be about the team. And then there's a question about her legacy. No joke. Someone asks her her rookie season in the WNBA, where her team is still trying to figure it out. And someone asks her, what does she want her legacy in basketball to be?
Holy smokes. I don't know. I mean, I'm 19 games in. I think just continue to learn and continue to have fun playing this game. And obviously we're a really young group, so continue to build day to day. You know, the Storm is like the type of team that the level that we want to be at. So like we go up against these teams and, you know, we put together, you know, a good quarter there. And I felt like in the third, we beat them 22-17, but we need to have four of those quarters. So, I mean, I think take it game by game and, you know, to help this organization get back to the playoffs is our main goal this year.
She goes on to answer the question as best she can without actually calling it a stupid question. Don't believe what your basketball. Don't believe what your kindergarten teacher or your basketball coach told you. There's no such thing as a stupid question because that is not true. There are. And she did answer it, but you very rarely hear these kind of moments where she's not completely gracious. Her response initially is, holy smokes, we're 19 games in. Are you kidding me?
It sounded like it came from a very young reporter, I will say. I didn't see the face, of it, but I just heard the voice. It sounded like a very young reporter. It was a female reporter.
Very young as in 22 or very young as in 17?
Probably
12.
College, I would say, around 20s.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. So now it's becoming a big deal for younger people to get credentialed and cover team. Or maybe she was covering Caitlin in college and now.
It was also the second question of the post game.
Right. So that's the issue, is timing is everything, number one. Number two, she's a rookie. How do you ask about legacy? So her response is, holy smokes. But then she does go on, at least. It's just you don't hear that very often. So that was, I think, just a carryover from some of the frustration. Let's just say they come up with a huge win in Seattle. And the locker room is excited, is happy, feeling like they just got a big statement win, gauged themselves against one of the better teams in the league. As you hear Caitlin say, you know, the Storm are where we want to be. Well, then maybe you take that question a little bit differently and you kind of laugh it off or you smile and, hey, I'm not there yet. But yeah, in the wake of a game like this where they didn't play well, that's kind of some frustration.
Holy smokes.
That she just didn't hold at bay. And it's definitely a challenge. I mean, you're 19 games in, you've had some high notes, but you're also on a long road trip, and this was a tough one.
I think what we weathered earlier in our season with that tough schedule, you know, it kind of set us up and got us, you know, these guys kept showing up and doing exactly what we asked them to do. That's on me and my staff to make sure that they're showing up every day, finding a way to get better. You know, we're going to go back, we're going to watch this game, figure out how we can get better to get ready for Phoenix. But they are young. They're the least experienced team in the league. We've got a lot of growing up to do. That's just what it is.
Okay. I thought post-pandemic that we were done with Zoom calls. Why? What? It's 2024. That should not be passing for quality audio. What happened to in person in 2024? Is there some reason why we need Zoom calls? But have you noticed there are still a lot of teams that are doing their post-game pressers on Zoom?
You want the real answer?
Yes.
It's easier. And they like that the quality sucks. It's less questions. It's less answers.
Fewer.
Whatever. I mean, that's what it is. That's what it is. It makes it easier for them. It makes it easier for the reporter. And the only people that care about the quality of the audio is radio people like us or TV people.
Well, how does it make it easier for reporters if you're not in the same place?
I don't care. They're able to type while that doesn't matter.
Ugh.
It doesn't matter to them.
I hate it. Sounds like she's in a bathroom.
Yeah. Yeah. There's too many play-by-play calls that we hear. It sounds like, I mean, you sound like you're, because they're off-site. It sounds like they're calling the game from their bathroom. You're off-site. But it becomes money and all the other different reasons that it's not about what it was originally for. It's now it's just convenience and money.
Have you noticed, or did you see, that the vast majority of announcers for the upcoming Olympics will not be in Paris? They will be in Stamford, Connecticut, mm-hmm. which is the headquarters for NBC Sports. Mm-hmm. The vast majority. We're not talking about Tokyo. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about South Korea. We're not talking about Africa somewhere. We're talking about Paris, mm-hmm. which is what, a 7-hour flight tops? And maybe a 6-hour time difference. I'm not exactly sure. Don't quote me on that. But, I mean, people go and cover the French Open. Why are we
money.
Keeping... Well, yeah, I know.
Is there a reason? Did they say why?
Yeah, that's the reason. Yeah, Marco's right. It's because they don't want to pay for travel and for lodging.
Yeah.
But it definitely takes away from the quality because you're not there to be able to react to the room or the venue or the temper of what's happening.
I agree with you 100%. Unfortunately, I also think this, and this is in life, quality is not our concern.
Oh,
that is not what we're
it
about.
Is for me.
We not are anymore. About what gets done. That's it. What's the cheapest and what gets done. It's not about doing it right. It's about getting it done. That's where we've gotten to. That's where we are.
I know. It kind of stinks, though. It really does.
It's awful.
It almost makes a mockery of our business. But it's happening, though. It's fewer and fewer people doing more and more of the work. And as you point out, quality takes a backseat, which is why some outlets may turn to AI, because it actually is better quality than what we're generating these days.
And again, it's not just this business. Yes, we see it. And yes, that's kind of more in the forefront in that regard. But it's everywhere. It's what we have become. We are not basing our decisions on the best quality. It's what can get by for the least amount of money and the least amount of work, because that's what we want. We want to spend less and we want to do less. And as long as it gets by, good enough.
See, for me as a perfectionist, that is so hard. So I guess I'm just going to remain a throwback because I really...
Do you hear the anger in my voice?
I do.
Good enough. That has become the motto.
Yeah, it stinks.
And it... I mean, I'm pushing it. What?
In some cases, that's even pushing it in some cases.
That we're getting to the point where even good enough is like, really? Is that even your bar, your goal here? Because we even fall short of that. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
On Twix at A-Law Radio and our Facebook page too, coming up, it was a huge moment for LeBron's family. Even if you think it is an ulterior motive for the Lakers, whatever you think about it, imagine the family, though. It's still pretty incredible that a father and son could play together on a team in the NBA, even if it's orchestrated. So you'll hear the reaction from inside the watch party with the James family.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Bronny is number one on my list.
That's dope.
He's number one on my list that I want to play with for sure.
You want him to beat you?
You think?
Nah, he can't beat me.
Hey, Bronny.
Nah.
Beat your daddy.
Not too long ago, I said, I asked him, I said, what you want to do with this? Like, you want to get to the pros? What you want to do? He's like, yeah. I said, why? He said, because I want to make a name for myself.
My dream has always just been to put my name out, make a name for myself, and of course, you know, get to the NBA, which is everyone's end goal.
With the 55th pick in the 2024 NBA Draft, the Los Angeles Lakers select Bronny James from the University of Southern California.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Father and son, at least momentarily, belong to the same organization. Now, Bronny hasn't signed yet, so I suppose he's not officially a Laker, but his rights belong to the Lakers, as do his father's, until he opts out of his contract and declares for free agency. But right now, they are part of that same organization and a dream coming true for Bronny and, of course, for LeBron and his family. And that's the perspective of the call on TV. But how about Bryce James on his Instagram, who was standing at the back of the watch party, and it's their perspective as a family.
Select Bronny James.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, sir, boy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It was interesting, too. I took it out of there because it was kind of hard to hear, and I was just going off about quality. But right on the heels of them cheering, they start complaining and getting upset because what the TV broadcast turned to, and this was ABC ESPN carrying the draft, what they turned to immediately was his heart arrest and that heart attack that he'd had going back to the, I guess, was it 5 months ago? Whenever it was. That doesn't sound right. I'll go and get the date just so that I don't give you false information. But yeah, right away, I guess he was sidelined for about 5 months.
About it was 10 months ago.
Yeah, it was a cardiac episode. So he did get cleared medically by the NBA doctors. And he also played basketball for the last half or the second half of the USC season. So he was out of basketball for about 5 months. And whether or not it's because of a cardiac arrest, whether or not it's because of something else, that's still a concern. He's played a season. That's it. Just a half of a season of college basketball. And he did enter the transfer portal, ultimately chose to put his name in for the draft. And I mean, he's a McDonald's All-American, and he impressed people in Chicago during the combine. So his stock went up, but not enough that anybody else drafted him before the Lakers did at number 55. So there's all kinds of layers to this that I find fascinating. Certainly, Rob Pelinka, he in the draft room, he was answering questions because this is one of those moments where you think, wow, what did the Lakers just do? Will this turn out to be a risk that backfires? Maybe, but maybe not. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, right away, Rob wanted to tell everyone about Bronny James as a basketball player himself, not just LeBron's son.
Bronny is, first and foremost, a person of high character. And second, he is a young man that works incredibly hard. And those are the qualities we look for in drafting players and adding to our developmental core at the Lakers. He had a great draft workout with us where he displayed those qualities to me in a our lunch that we shared in the building just to get to know each other. Became clear that he was a man of character. It's an honor for us to add him to our program. Coach Redick is already excited about putting a development plan around him.
Coach Redick.
To increase his basketball skills and turn him into the player that we think can impact and help this franchise.
I know, I got distracted by the shiny object, but it was a little bit jarring to me the first time to hear Coach Redick.
Coach Redick.
Coach Redick. Coach Redick. Uh-huh. Not JJ anymore.
Coach Redick.
Now it's Coach Redick.
Sounds kind of nice.
I bet if you're JJ Redick, it does. But it's still taking some time for me to get used to
it. Coach Redick.
Yeah. What about the two LeBrons? The two Jameses playing together.
In the history of the NBA, there's never been a father and a son that have shared an NBA basketball court. And that feels like something that could be magical. We know and have to respect, of course, that LeBron has a decision about his opt-out. And I'm sure he and his family and his agent will deliberate what they're going to do there. And of course, he has freedom to decide whatever's best for him and his family. But if it worked out that he was on our team next season, NBA history could be made. And NBA history should be made in a Lakers uniform.
No doubt that is a major piece of this. I mean, there's no way that you can believe this is just about basketball. And I'm not sure I mind. If the Lakers don't mind, then I don't mind. But there is a chance. Again, we don't know because it's draft day and there's a lot that could happen between now and the debut of Bronny in a Lakers uniform or the two of them playing on the same court. But it seems like what Rob Pelinka said at the end there is probably the motivation, is that it could be made. History could be made with a father and son on the court together. And he says it should be made in a Lakers uniform. Whatever else he says about Bronny, he's a project. And I'm not saying that in a negative. I mean, think about the number of young quarterbacks that are drafted in their projects. Bo Nix for the Broncos, project. Right? There's a lot of work that needs to go into it. Anthony Richardson, Colts, project. Now they threw him out there, but there's still a lot of work to be done. So it's not a negative that he's raw potential, but is not ready for the NBA. He's got a few months. We'll see if they get him ready. But what you hear at the end with Pelinka, to me, feels like the most accurate depiction of why they made this decision. Because history should be made in a Lakers uniform. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What's your reaction? I would watch. I mean, I think it's pretty incredible to think about LeBron and his son being on the court at the same time. I just wonder if the Lakers are sacrificing a season or a draft pick. Not that they can't find people elsewhere, but what would this cost them too? Not to mention LeBron's contract, because if they're going to re-sign him, they also have to pay him as well since he's a free agent. There's a lot that could be wrapped up in this. I don't know. Does anybody else in the NBA have an issue with it? Not that it matters, of course, but like outside Los Angeles, I don't know. Are there other organizations that think this is goofy? Adrian Wojnarowski is the longtime excellent NBA insider, and he had a different perspective.
I don't want to hear these charges, people talking about nepotism.
No,
the NBA is full of nepotism.
Full of it.
The ownership level, front offices,
absolutely.
Coaching. Yep. I don't want to hear it all of a sudden because of Bronny James's father plays for the Lakers. Right. It is rampant in this league.
Nepotism, of course, referring to the family ties and the fact that second generation, third generation of families end up getting opportunities that they may or may not deserve or may not be qualified for because of who they're related to. So it's like a family twist on it's not what you know, but who you know. That happens everywhere. It really does. I don't have to tell you where it happens in broadcasting because you know. I understand what he's saying, and I don't even think that's the bigger concern here. I think if you're looking specifically at basketball, how does this help the Lakers get closer to a championship? Well, if you believe LeBron is still the best option for them and bringing him back in what could be his final season and paying him whatever he wants and drafting his son and bringing J.J. Redick in as coach, if that gets you closer to a championship, great. But maybe that's not the Lakers' goal. Maybe the Lakers' goal is to make history in 24-25 and then they'll work on a championship after that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Bronny James.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, sir, boy. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It was interesting, too. I took it out of there because it was kind of hard to hear, and I was just going off about quality. But right on the heels of them cheering, they start complaining and getting upset because what the TV broadcast turned to, and this was ABC, ESPN carrying the draft, what they turned to immediately was his heart arrest and that heart attack that he'd had going back to the, I guess, was it 5 months ago? Whenever it was. That doesn't sound right. I'll go and get the date just so that I don't give you false information. But yeah, right away, he was sidelined for about 5 months.
About 10 months ago.
Yeah, it was a cardiac episode. So he did get cleared medically by the NBA doctors. And he also played basketball for the last half or the second half of the USC season. So he was out of basketball for about 5 months. And whether or not it's because of a cardiac arrest, whether or not it's because of something else, that's still a concern. He's played a season. That's it. Just a half of a season of college basketball. And he did enter the transfer portal, ultimately chose to put his name in for the draft. And I mean, he's a McDonald's All-American and he impressed people in Chicago during the combine. So his stock went up, but not enough that anybody else drafted him before the Lakers did at number 55. So there's all kinds of layers to this that I find fascinating. And certainly Rob Pelinka, he in the draft room, he was answering questions because this is one of those moments where you think, wow, what did the Lakers just do? Will this turn out to be a risk that backfires? Maybe, but maybe not. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Yeah, right away, Rob wanted to tell everyone about Bronny James as a basketball player himself, not just LeBron's son.
Bronny is first and foremost a person of high character. And second, he is a young man that works incredibly hard. And those are the qualities we look for in drafting players and adding to our developmental core at the Lakers. He had a great draft workout with us where he displayed those qualities to me in our lunch that we shared in the building just to get to know each other. Became clear that he was a man of character. It's an honor for us to add him to our program. Coach Redick is already excited about putting a development plan around him.
Coach Redick.
To increase his basketball skills and turn him into the player that we think can impact and help this franchise.
I know, I got distracted by the shiny object, but it was a little bit jarring to me the first time to hear Coach Redick.
Coach Redick.
Coach Reddick. Coach Reddick. Uh-huh. Not JJ anymore.
Coach Reddick.
Now it's Coach Reddick.
Sounds kind of nice.
I bet if you're JJ Reddick, it does. But it's still taking some time for me to get used to
Coach
it.
Coach Reddick.
Yeah. What about the two LeBrons? The two Jameses playing together?
In the history of the NBA, there's never been a father and a son that have shared an NBA basketball court. And that feels like something that could be magical. We know and have to respect, of course, that LeBron has a decision about his opt-out. And I'm sure he and his family and his agent will deliberate what they're going to do there. And of course, he has freedom to decide whatever's best for him and his family. But if it worked out that he was on our team next season, NBA history could be made. And NBA history should be made in a Lakers uniform.
No doubt that is a major piece of this. I mean, there's no way that you can believe this is just about basketball. And I'm not sure I mind. If the Lakers don't mind, then I don't mind. But there is a chance. Again, we don't know because it's draft day and there's a lot that could happen between now and the debut of Bronny in a Lakers uniform or the two of them playing on the same court. But it seems like what Rob Pelinka said at the end there is probably the motivation, is that it could be made. History could be made with a father and son on the court together. And he says it should be made in a Lakers uniform. Whatever else he says about Bronny, he's a project. And I'm not saying that in a negative. I mean, think about the number of young quarterbacks that are drafted in their projects. Bo Nix for the Broncos. Project. Right? There's a lot of work that needs to go into it. Anthony Richardson. Colts. Project. Now, they threw him out there, but there's still a lot of work to be done. So it's not a negative that he's raw potential, but is not ready for the NBA. He's got a few months. We'll see if they get him ready. But what you hear at the end with Pelinka, to me, feels like the most accurate depiction of why they made this decision. Because history should be made in a Lakers uniform. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. What's your reaction? I would watch. I mean, I think it's pretty incredible to think about LeBron and his son being on the court at the same time. I just wonder if the Lakers are sacrificing a season or a draft pick. Not that they can't find people elsewhere, but what would this cost them too? Not to mention LeBron's contract, because if they're going to re-sign him, they also have to pay him as well since he's a free agent. There's a lot that could be wrapped up in this. I don't know. Does anybody else in the NBA have an issue with it? Not that it matters, of course, but like outside Los Angeles, I don't know. Are there other organizations that think this is goofy? Adrian Wojnarowski is the longtime excellent NBA insider, and he had a different perspective.
I don't want to hear these charges, people talking about nepotism.
No, the
NBA is full of nepotism.
Full of it.
The ownership level, front offices,
absolutely.
Coaching. Yep. I don't want to hear it all of a sudden because of Bronny James's father plays for the Lakers. Right. It is rampant in this league.
Nepotism, of course, referring to the family ties and the fact that second generation, third generation of families end up getting opportunities that they may or may not deserve or may or may not be qualified for because of who they're related to. So it's like a family twist on, it's not what you know, but who you know. That happens everywhere. It really does. I don't have to tell you where it happens in broadcasting because you know. I understand what he's saying, and I don't even think that's the bigger concern here. I think if you're looking specifically at basketball, how does this help the Lakers get closer to a championship? Well, if you believe LeBron is still the best option for them and bringing him back in what could be his final season and paying him whatever he wants and drafting his son and bringing JJ Redick in as coach, if that gets you closer to a championship, great. But maybe that's not the Lakers' goal. Maybe the Lakers' goal is to make history in 24-25, and then they'll work on a championship after that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.